The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. I pray that I and all sentient beings, from this life through all future lives, will ever be able to hear the true teachings. Once I have heard the true Dharma, I will not harbor doubts about it or fail to trust in it. Right at the time when I encounter the true Dharma, I will let go of the whole world and embrace the Buddha's teachings. Then, together with all sentient beings on this great earth, may we fulfill the way. Yesterday, Bodhidharma spoke about the three pure precepts and how they were the means to control the three poisons of greed, hatred, and delusion. I hope it is clear by now that Bodhidharma sees each and all of the teachings and practices asked about by Hui Ko as aspects of pure meditation. Each one of Bodhidharma's answers is grounded in this essential practice, which he mentioned at the very beginning of his discourse. All of the doctrines, all of the practices, all of the myriad forms of Buddhism amount to the essential practice of what we call serene reflection meditation. It is not the case that one should simply meditate and ignore all of those teachings. Understand that the basis of those teachings comes from the experience of the unborn by the Buddha and his disciples. And that each one of those teachings is rooted in pure meditation. Just as each one of the teachings expresses how we may understand pure meditation. Without the root of pure meditation in our lives, the teachings and the practices, while very beautiful and just in and of themselves sometimes downright helpful, lack true depth and true purpose. Unless one is willing to truly practice the way and attempt at least to enter pure meditation, training may be comforting, but it does not directly address the important thing. The important thing is the unborn, undying, uncreated, unchanging unformed. Training is becoming one with this. Unless our training has this as its root, training remains essentially superficial and will provide no true means of liberation and no true refuge in which we may awaken the cessation of suffering. I do not mean this in any way to be critical or to disparage any other religious or spiritual practice. But this is often what passes for religion in the world. And as such, much of it remains in the mind of the mundane. As Dogen says, it is the quality, the depth of training that is vital, not the quality of the teaching. There are many fine examples in all the religions of people who were successful in bringing about the harmony of the ideal and the actual of their religious practice and religious teaching. They are models and examples for all of us. In addition to these, there are many, many, many deeply sincere people who work very hard and make great efforts to fulfill their religious dreams and aspirations, to help themselves, to help the world, to help others. And this does bear great merit. But there is much more to religion than making merit. Bodhidharma's teaching comes from the essence of Buddha nature. It expresses that essence. Pure meditation is the cleansing of karma, the conversion of the self, union with the unborn. This is not a selfish act. For this kind of training and this kind of religious practice carries with it the responsibility of helping those who come for refuge and for teaching. But in order to be real help, real refuge, and real teaching, the help must come as a byproduct of cleansing karma and converting self, not as the primary purpose of the training. Otherwise, one may become a very good person, which is good, and possibly just another naive idealist. More in this world perhaps would be helpful. But the fundamental teaching of the Buddha was becoming one with the unborn, undying, uncreated unchanging. Dogen says training and enlightenment are one. Because we are already partially enlightened, we train. And in that training, we clarify and go beyond enlightenment. Also, Buddhism is not psychology or psychotherapy. While these fields have a very good and proper use and do much, much good help, real religion begins where psychology ends. Because of this, and because of the way that Bodhidharma teaches, whenever you hear the teachings of our tradition, whenever you read them, whenever you try to put them into practice, remember that each teaching refers directly to your body and your mind. Cleansing karma, converting the self, becoming one with the unborn. Pure meditation. Today, Bodhidharma continues to explain the teaching on the six paramitas and how these paramitas convert the six thieves. The six sense faculties, he says, when purified, are the six paramitas. Do not think of the paramitas or of the six sense faculties as objects or as things or as something out there in the distance. Because of pure meditation, and because we are all capable of pure meditation, training the sense gates, practicing the paramitas, catalyze pure meditation. They help to express it and to deepen it. Huiko asked, as it says in the scriptures, the six paramitas are also referred to as the six practices, namely giving of the teaching and wealth, keeping to the precepts, patient forbearance, zealous endeavor, meditative mindfulness, and finally wise understanding and discernment. You now say that the six sense faculties, when immaculate, are the six paramitas. If we harmonize the differences in the terms, what then do the six paramitas signify? Bodhidharma replied, if you wish to cultivate the six practices, you should purify your six sense faculties. If you wish to purify your six sense faculties, first subdue the six thieves. If you are able to relinquish the eye thief and abandon the sphere of form so that your mind will not look about with a hard-hearted and stingy attitude, we call this being giving. If you are able to restrain the ear thief from being occupied with the dirt and defilement from what is heard, and not let it indulgently stray, we call this keeping to the precepts. If you are able to abandon the nose thief and treat all fragrances and stenches as equal, freely blending and tolerating them, we call this patient forbearance. If you are able to control the tongue thief so that it does not covet the flavors of perversity, but free of any tinge of being desultory or bored, you extol and expound the teaching, we call this zealous endeavor. If you are able to subdue the body thief so that your mind remains profoundly unmoved amidst all its contacts and cravings, we call this meditative mindfulness. If you are able to control the discriminatory thought thief and not yield to ignorance, but always cultivate enlightened benevolence and take pleasure in meritorious spiritual qualities, we call this wise understanding and discernment. If you are able to perpetually abandon the six thieves by continually training to purify your six sense faculties, we call this practicing the six paramitas. Also, the paramitas are conveyances. By analogy, the six paramitas are as ferry boats which can transport sentient beings so that they reach the other shore. Therefore, they are called the six rafts. Cultivating the six paramitas means purifying the six sense faculties. Purifying the six sense faculties is subduing the six thieves. Subduing the six thieves is controlling the three poisons through the three pure precepts. Controlling the three poisons is the conversion of greed, hate, and delusion. At its root, converting greed, hate, and delusion at its root means comprehending what the mind really is, seeing it in its two conditions of stained and immaculate, recognizing that these two conditions are essentially pure and immaculate. Neither grasping the stained nor the immaculate is practicing pure meditation. You don't have to perform this painful linear thought process to practice pure meditation. Think of it as the hub of a wheel on which each one of the spokes comes directly out of the hub to the wheel's edge. That wheel is your training. Those spokes are these teachings. That hub is pure meditation. When the wheel moves, when we do our training, its center is perfectly still. Bodhidharma wishes us to sit still in the very center of that wheel and practice pure meditation. Everything on the wheel is directly connected to the hub. If it isn't, it's no longer functioning as a wheel. It always surprises me when I read this, because the examples he gives are very unusual, I think, and they are not what I would normally think of in trying to give an example. If you meditate upon them, these illustrate how each paramita cleanses each sense gate. And through the purifying of each sense gate, you can practice each and all of the paramitas. In reflecting upon these examples, you will probably come up with your own understanding of each sense gate, of each paramita, how it can be purified in your daily training, in your body and mind. Just be willing to sit still and look. Don't sit and judge. Sit and look. Understand how each one of the senses functions, what it does, and look at it with compassion. Be mindful. Notice what it's doing. Most likely, you will see a thief at the gate. There's always the odd thief lingering about somewhere. Treat that thief with love and compassion. Learn how to convert the thief. Do you know why that thief is there? Because he's unemployed. Give him a job. When the thief has a job, when it has a purpose, when our senses have a purpose to help us train, the thief becomes a caretaker and serves pure meditation. It will not steal from you anymore. It will be faithful and it will guard the gate. Thus, we must learn to treat it with kindness and with gratitude. All the way along, we are getting cues. Because fundamentally, the thief doesn't want to steal. It wants to guard. We have to employ it. And just as with any employee, if you have to get tough with it from time to time, do so with kindness and compassion. And love. Bodhidharma says that the six paramitas are the six rafts. They carry us to the other shore. They help the other shore come here. Avoid the temptation to treat the six rafts as the six tubs in which everything is to be stirred up. Pure meditation is sitting still and mindfulness with compassion. If one of the thieves is all stirred up, teach them kindly just how to sit still. It's all right. This is not going to kill you. and it's not going to hurt you as long as you stay on this side of the gate. Although one would always like to think of oneself as mature, as a mature Buddhist, as a mature monk, I don't feel that way. I always feel like I'm starting over again. The time that has been spent is as a dream. The time that will come is a dream too. One can only take care of this body, this mind, this day, as it is now. Remember our lovely analogy. If you treat the mother well, all the children will be happy. Reverend Master always used to say that one has to be willing to sit with a naive mind, like a fool, like a child, and just sit still. Practice pure meditation. Let yourself be as a child who grows within and is nurtured by the womb of the Tathagatas. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.